So I'm here with George Myatt. It is May 29th. Hello. Thank you for being part of this study.
Thank you.
So to begin the interview, just some background questions. Where are you from and how did you end up at the College of Worcester?
Sure. I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio, and I ended up at the College of Worcester. My college counselor recommended the college to me. So I just applied like any other student would for a spot in a college.
Nice. What year did you graduate?
I graduated in 2011.
Cool. So my next questions are sort of based on your participation in different WIGS classes and different things on campus. So what made you interested in the WIGS discipline?
I was interested in expanding my understanding of feminism, as well as what was happening in queer studies at that time. So I saw myself as an activist or someone who was going to lead to promote fights to get equal rights and to push things forward. And I was always interested in understanding what feminism was instead of what the media was telling me what it was about.
Very nice. So what were some of your favorite classes that you took in the WIGS department? And what were the most valuable things you learned from those classes?
Sure. So I think one of the most valuable ones first was the introduction to WIGS. It was the first of its kind, since that's when the program went just from women's studies to finally WIGS. Mm-hmm. I found it valuable because it challenged my perspective as to what feminism was, and we were introduced to different concepts of it. We didn't get to look at like the history of it all the way, but it was an intersecting point to show the differences of where we got out of what was America's perspective on women's issues and all these other things. And we took a worldview of all these different things. But we did look at feminist thought and in the immediate now of America. So that was very valuable to see that as of now. Another one that was very helpful was a course by Dr. Craven, which was Queer Lives. And that was looking at specifically the queer lives of men, women, and other identities along the LGBTQ plus spectrum. And it was nice to see a world perspective in that. You know, I got to learn about how in Brazil, I forget the names, unfortunately, of these identities, but they're very different in how they act there. And it's something like, oh, it's part of the culture, it's right there. Versus in America, it's like, I don't know what to do with this. I can't touch this. So I saw those as valuable in those regards.
Talk a little bit about your IS. I know that it was very WIGS central.
Yes, yes. The backing theme was definitely WIGS central, but it was pushed into a theatrical space because I majored in theater dance. So it was all about putting the issues of gender and sexuality on the stage in an interactive forum, particularly looking at the gay male identity. So it was all about a visual conception of that. When you take a male and female energy and you put it together, you're going to get all these identities that come out of it. But at that time, there was no visual reference as to what that looks like. It was just, you put it together, but people don't know what that means. So with my IS advisor, Shirley Houston Finley, it became like a positive and a negative charge. I was thinking about electricity, but I didn't want to put like a plus symbol on someone and a negative symbol because those have negative and positive connotations. So then it became a male dummy and a female dummy. And then there's a white screen there. So kind of like what people might change behind if they have one in their home. And I come out of the stage where it looks like there's shards of electricity going everywhere. I come in and take the two cords and bring them together. There's a light that comes out of it. And I just straight up tell in a monologue to people what this is all about, not just go off and do the next thing. And then I go behind the screen and then I start changing and showing how I can shift identities or change it. And it was a format of different scenes from a couple different plays to show that. So one was from a play called Take Me Out. It's about how a baseball player has never come out in the prime of his career and what would happen. So dealing with issues of coming out and those issues of what it means to be a man in a sport like that, and if you're gay. The next one was taking two scenes from Angels in America that dealt with, you know, the complications of attraction, as well as what is considered mostly masculine and feminine, and can those types of people come together, or can they coexist, or the problems that society creates when we try to bottle those things up and not let them interact. And then the last one to turn on its head was a play by Carol Churchill called Cloud Nine. In that, I played a woman named Betty, and as the playwright described it, it was a man playing a woman. So it was definitely full on drag. In that, you basically see a woman in the 1800s of Victoria, Africa, or Victorian Age Africa, and how she's ostracized by her husband and all of her other family, how their identities are switched. And they kind of confuse the brain as to, well, wait, that's a boy, but that's a girl. And now there's a strange relationship with this uncle. This is kind of creepy. And then there's some homosexual activity going on stage. What's going on, you know, with that? To backtrack a little bit, I played one of the title characters in Take Me Out. What's kind of important with that is it's kind of a poke and fun at a Major League Baseball player named Derek Jeter, who's biracial. So I could pass for biracial in that instance for that play. So that was a bit of a rumor-esque kind of poke and fun, if you will, for that kind of play. And then with Angels in America, I played Joe. He's a conservative federal Mormon judge. And he's definitely coming to grips with who he is, and he has yet to come out. And he finds this man named Lewis who he's attracted to, who's younger, who's more feminine, and starts to fall in love with. So there's the complications of Reaganism in the 80s and religion and other complications just come head on with each other. But that was the production component I took. To describe more about my independent study or what I did within it. So I had that theory as to when you put the male and female energies together, you get all kinds of identities. I first looked at how the gay male identity was pushed down or kind of left alone in 20th century American theater. How it was just pushed to the side. And then to prepare for my roles into the production, which was called The Electric Current, I read a book by a woman named Diane Torres, who basically teaches women to be drag kings, and they start to learn male energies and male lingo and other body languages as to what it's like to be a male and to assert your command and presence and energy when males try to come up and confront you and try to get past you. So I had to learn that because, yeah, I'm definitely gay and queer in my own right. And I, you know, this being whole tough thing was like, okay, well, I could stumble through to do it, but I have to learn what this is so I understand what's being taught. And so that was interesting. So it's basically taking movements like I have where I'm very like soft in my movement, more sharp and such, and lowering my voice and speaking more concerted in a way. And even my body language, I couldn't be as fluid. I had to be more like, you know, physically stuck or something to show that there was struggle in my body in a way. And then after that, you know, after the production was then a full-on analysis of what I did during the show and what those moments were kind of creating. So that's what it was about.
That's really interesting.
I can give you the full text to it if you'd like.
Oh, sure, actually.
That's yeah.
What in the wigs class has sort of like helped shape your idea for your IS?
That was actually hard because it almost seemed like Queer Lives was kind of battling for some of the Electric Current's attention, because Queer Lives said, take a worldview. Mm-hmm. But my IS said, I love the world, but I got to focus on America first before we can go to the world.
Yeah.
But it actually, there was another thing. There was another class I took about feminism, and it was in conjunction, and this was always offered in conjunction with the Department of Theater and Dance and WIGS, and that was Feminism in Theater. That had the most influence because that looked at feminism from a theatrical perspective by a woman named Jill Dolan. And she looked at the different types of feminism presented on stage at that time. So the first one was cultural feminism, which, as described by her, is, it's not just like girl power and such like that, but it's like men suck, women only island kind of mentalities. Yeah. You know, forget men, we don't need them. Her argument, okay, you can do that, but all you're doing is isolating yourself from a population of people who make up the equal parts of this world too, as well. Then you had liberal feminism in what Jill Dolan describes, and this was a book made in like the 90s, so some of it's still accurate today. The liberal feminism was bringing in everything, feminizing everything, and not like gender feminizing, but a tool of feminism to go after what the mainstream or norm thinks is good, when actually it's bad, and you're actually taking these identities and just putting them in strict constructions with that. So to backtrack and circle around a little bit, some of the languages between all the courses I took had these similar terminologies, but they were said differently. So I had to think back to what I was learning and then put my own label stamps so that the audiences that were, I was reaching from a theatrical and world perspective and Whigs perspective could all be on the same page with that. And kind of like hints and nods to that as well. Mm-hmm. But the final part of that course where it was just like, oh, of course, here's the bias of the author, but it's her book and she's arguing very well, was materialist feminism. And materialist feminism, from the theatrical perspective, is where we take something that is considered normal and turn it on its head to show how messed up it really is, how bad it is, or the problems with it. So in the examples of that show, what happened theatrically was how I got, you know, challenging a conventional way of play is run. I'm dressing myself as from man to woman. I'm bringing in different challenging viewpoints of moments in human interaction that we don't usually see because it's so taboo or hidden at that time. Another inspiration, because her name was coming up all over the place, Butler.
Judith Butler?
Thank you, Judith. And like Adrian Rich. But Judith Butler was always coming up in these books, always referenced throughout all of this. And was the toughest writer because she packed so much into one sentence where you're like, here's a book on this one sentence you wrote with it. So that's how it shaped it. And then another woman named, that I found eventually for the research, that Jill Dolan was referencing was a woman named Sue Ellen Case. And she was another theatrical person too. So yeah, really the inspiration for it, it just came in different avenues at different times.
So moving a little more away from the academic aspects of Whigs, what was the campus climate like when you were a student when it came to like women's rights and LGBTQ rights?
That 4-year period from 2007 to 2011, it was dramatic shifts. So by that time, the old guard had left. So there was a president who was very nice to the students, no discrimination. He had left, and then Grant Corwell came in. And I'm in that period of time where there's tons of transformation that was just literally right after freshman year just started like crazy. The climate, there were people, and throughout the years, it got more liberal, more open and accepting. I saw this change right under my feet. I was a part of it. The theme that was common, though, was just that, where are the gays? And I don't mean to be rude, but I saw a ton of lesbians and bisexual ladies, but there were hardly any people who were out and gay and male like me. Mm-hmm. I've heard rumors that it was very underground, whatever that meant at that time. I didn't participate in any salacious stuff like that. And then transgendered rights at that time, by the time I got to my junior year, people were putting their feet down and saying something about it and doing something about it. I had no recollection of what transgender was until my sophomore year when I had friends who were coming to me and were coming out. the overall climate really, it just got more liberal. It got more open. Dr. Craven had arrived a year or two before. The college was clearly moving in a direction of more openness, and it needed those pushes along the way to help that. I never felt unsafe on campus. I always felt safe. People who identified as straight acting or straight were always very pleasant to me, were always very nice. I had very few, if almost no, confrontations that people wanted to beat me up, ostracize me, and call me names. If they did, I was with my friends. So there was a difference with that. But there was, unfortunately, inner turmoil to get to those points in terms of making a stake of claim for your name or seeing what that was. So unfortunately, there was cases of loneliness because there were no other gay guys around. There were no other like people, but there were a lot of supportive straight people. So thankfully, there was that.
Yeah. So in the beginning, you were talking about how you were interested in the Wigs classes because you felt like you were an activist. Did taking any more classes inspire more activism when you were a student on campus?
It did. It did. I came in that way from the get-go, but it inspired me to be a thoughtful activist in many respects of a critical thinker who can basically go further and take action on things with that. I guess it inspired me to stay the course and to keep going with who I was as a person, as a gay man, to be open, and as well to, you know, set a foundation for others eventually so that they could feel comfortable. And doing that was through, I know the group has changed its names at many different times, was the group Allies and Queers, mm-hmm. our LGBT student group on campus. It really inspired me to do that, to be a part of that, and then graciously honored to then be voted as, you know, the president of that organization for my senior year. So it was very important to me.
Awesome. So actually going back to a few more points about taking Wigs classes, was there any sort of, when you were taking classes, was there any stigma you sort of saw as somebody taking a women's gender sexuality studies class or being a guy taking those classes?
We had some guys in the introduction to women's course. That wasn't an issue. No one was mean to others in that class. There might have been some, like, there were no any like whoops, didn't know kind of moments necessarily. They were mostly silent, but not judgmental. But around me and such, I never faced that because I think people saw me because I was such a public figure in people's eyes, not like I'm popular, people must respect me thing. I think because I was so highly visible that people knew to respect me and not ever go into something like that. But anytime I heard rumblings about, and it always happened, of feminism in particular, how apparent straight white men would attack feminism and call it a problem, when really it was just a disagreement with their beliefs or thoughts as to what is normal or not, because they just didn't understand. They didn't have the tools or understanding of that. Dude, you call yourself normal. You call other people who are not like you other, it, different, foreign, object, you know? So there was that. It's hard to say if that got better over time or not with the status of things in being that way, but I never felt uncomfortable in the class. I never felt that from my peers that I wasn't uncomfortable taking it. They just had interesting, charred views about feminism because they weren't informed. They had bad examples of people who they thought were over hyperly feministic in the wrong way, to which I say people are different and shift and change at different times, and they're just being themselves. Don't think that they're taking on something that they shouldn't, or an ideal like that don't attack the person for feminism. Have a healthy discussion or dialogue about it, you know? So, yeah, that's how I would respond to that.
Yeah. What about being a guy in any of the classes? Was that
or? It wasn't an issue in Wigs, in the Wigs intro course. It wasn't an issue in feminism of theater. It wasn't an issue in Queer Lives, but it was, unfortunately, and I wasn't harmed by it, but I was the only guy in the course. Mm-hmm. But I knew the women in that course and the other identities in there. I don't know if someone was transgendered or not in that course, but just being, you know, safe and honest about that. But it was very female Queer Lives driven focused, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And not enough male. And it's like, I don't want to be the only one here to be like, male problem, male problem, male problem. But I did at times, and that's okay. I didn't fight with anyone about it, but I didn't feel uncomfortable. The discussions, and it's not that it has to be this, but very female, traditional female focused, not enough male focused. And but there were some moments of people of different identities along different parts of the spectrum, especially transgendered, not as much for bisexuality. So it had its own evenness, mm-hmm. but it happened naturally. It wasn't anyone's particular fault mm-hmm. with that.
Yeah, I was curious about that because as a guy in the program too, I'm oftentimes the only guy, and especially the more upper level courses. So I was just curious if that was a similar issue in your experience.
Sure.
Yeah. So one of my last questions is, how have you used what you learned from the Wigs discipline in your life after Worcester?
I guess what I've used now, in a sense, is obviously I'm much more educated on, besides just the information, but the interdisciplinaries that go within it, but also the core themes that go with it, that, you know, identity transforms, identity doesn't just stay there. It armed me with the right information and power to call people out when, you know, they're not being nice to others or being dicks. It also afforded me the ability to educate others on things that they think is right or wrong. But it also really allowed me to, reminded me to keep thinking openly and expansively with what it means to be a human, to be queer, to be gay, to have your identity. So it's really influenced me to have an educationally positive influence on others in almost any conversation that I might have. If we go talk about feminism, if we talk about women's issues, gay rights, gender issues, particularly gender issues, that is the one thing that when you start to approach people like this in the outside world about, they start to freeze up because they're like, system cannot compute, what are you talking about? So you're kind of helping extend the program or education to people's lives because they may not have known about it as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Is there any, well, you sort of talked about the classes that really stuck with you, but like, what's like one thing that you have like kept with you like the most?
Well, physically, I've kept the books. What I've kept with me, and besides the knowledge of what I've learned, I've learned that basically, I mean, two things. Open to the possibility of exploring for more information. Just because you found it here doesn't mean you can't go further with it. And basically, always to keep an even more open mind than you thought. Because while there's times there are people in certain subjects of their disciplinaries that they're like, no, this is the rule, you can't bend it, blah. But really, it helps with that saying, just because it was this way before doesn't mean it can't be this now. And if you dig deeper, the perspective you might have been taught could actually be wrong. There's more to the story. So it really fueled a thirst for more knowledge, more understanding, being more inquisitive with whatever I might research or understand, even with my line of work, to go further into it. And as well, to kind of be aware of what is considered male and female, with it. So, or well, gender coded, I would say, because I don't want to be like, it's only this or that, but what is traditionally gender coded or not gender coded as well. So yeah.
That's awesome. I'm actually, that's interesting because I'm sort of feeling those similar themes from the classes that I've been taking. So that's cool to hear that it's similar for you as well. Those are all the questions I have. Is there anything you wanted to bring up or say?
What is a defining moment that's prompting you to look at this important juncture for the WIGS program? Is it because of a new subject that's being introduced, or just the one of the anniversaries that's coming up?
Mm-hmm. Well, the main thing is it's the anniversary coming up. So me and Dr. Craven were able to do this project through a grant. For me personally, I was just interested in hearing people from all different generations. So people who have taught here, people who have been students, sort of why WIGS was important to them. Because for me personally, coming into Worcester, I did not think I was going to be a WIGS major in the slightest. I thought like, what is there to like learn? I feel like I understand feminism. That was a very like teenager type of thing, like not as cultured as I could have been. So then I took the intro class for fun, and then I was just exposed to all these new ideas and all these new thoughts and different theorists and topics. And I was fascinated by it. And I started taking more classes, and then I thought to myself, this is awesome. And I really enjoy learning about all these things. And it feels very important and very relevant, especially with the political climate we are in right now. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is actually my favorite classes I've taken. So with that experience in mind for myself, I was just curious to hear what others were taking from the program and how it sort of shaped how they think and how they, like, where they have gone after Worcester.
Are you finding any common themes or theories pop up, or?
I mean, right now it's a lot about activism, I think. A lot of people who I've been talking to have been very active on campus as either a faculty member or a student. And just this whole idea of like being open to different people, being open to different ideas, and how this sort of change of acceptance of people from different identities has like grown throughout the interviews with people I've been talking to. So those are the main things I'm seeing right now.
Cool. Very good.
Well, thank you so much for doing this.
You're welcome.